Simon Reish Mem Beis. So we did. We did the whole sip. We have the Mishaburas. So all the Mishaburas have cut and dalit. So a person should. We see from the significance of what we're supposed to do. So a person should try and limit himself during the week, in order that he should have what to be mechaber the Shabbos with. The mezonos shel Shabbos yom to be moisif masifin loy kamashar mechazal kol mezonos shel adam. The Gemara says that a person's food is limited. The Rosh Hashanah sets a certain amount from at Rosh Hashanah until the next Rosh Hashanah, with the exception of the kasa, the harsana, excuse me, with the exception of the Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, during the week, a person should not be spending extravagantly, because who said you deserve all that amount of designated money? So, like, we're afraid that the person might run out halfway through the year if he's too extravagant. But Shabbos, Yom Tov, the more makes a drush, is the more in the beginning of the second parak in Beya, but the more lives out from Sukkim, with the exception of that which a person spends on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is why it's in Masechta Zevei. And the Gemara also says that what a person spends on Talmud Torah, Shem Moisif Masifin Loi, if a person spends more, so the Bereshim finds a way to repay him. Okay. Vavin Beribis, Letzarech Sura Shabbos, Oysura Semitzah. So there is a reason which says that you can borrow money of beribis in order to have food for Shabbos or for Siddur Mitzvah. So he says, what does that mean? How can you be mata the Isser of ribis because of the mitzvah? So he means, v'hainu me'ena Yehudi, means borrowing from a non-Jew. So the chiddush over here is not that it's mutter, because it's obviously mutter. The chiddush is that you should do so. Or a me'yisil b'derechet, or if the person would borrow from a Israel through heteriska or something of that sort, some way where it's permitted. Okay, end of thought. New thought. Im shalcholoy davar Michael sheyochlanu b'Shabbos, a person received a present, a gift that he should use for Shabbos. Lo yochlanu b'chol, the person should not use it for the weekday. Ken kasev b'sefer chasidim. So I think over here the chiddush is like this. There's a machlokes in the Gemara in Beya, and that Gemara over there in Beya, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says that a person has a chiyuv of kavod Shabbos. So a person finds something nice during the week, he should designate it aside, put away for Shabbos. If he finds something nicer, so then he can eat the first thing and use the second thing for Shabbos. But he starts off with something, you know, he has a chiyuv, the chiyuv covered Shabbos, ready to makayif in the beginning of the week. I just want to point out one thing which we didn't really touch on yesterday, after the shir came out in the conversation I had with Daniel Ginsberg. The Rambam says that there's the mitzvah of covered Shabbos, the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. So Rambam says the mitzvah on Shabbos is the mitzvah on Shabbos when you partake of these items, you're becoming the mitzvah on Shabbos. The mitzvah of kavod Shabbos is to take action before Shabbos to make sure you have what to have for on Shabbos. So the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos is fulfilled before Shabbos. The mitzvah of on Shabbos is fulfilled on Shabbos. So Beis Shammai says that the mitzvah of zochar shemar Shabbos l'katroi, included in that concept of Shabbos Lakacha, means you're thinking about Shabbos the whole week, which means you find something nice on Sunday, you say, Kabbalah, I'll save it for Shabbos. That's what Beis Shammai says. Beis Hillel, Miracheres HaYisrael Lehem, they had a different approach, and they relied on the Kadosh Baruch Hu that, you know, they found something which right now there'd be a reason why they would want to consume it now, for they have a purpose of a Tzorach Mitzvah or something of that sort, they'll use it for now. And they'll rely, the Russian will give them some more for Shabbos. Later on in the week, something for Shabbos will come. The Ger Aryeh in Chumash, in Parashas Yisroi, he asks the Kash on Rashi, because Rashi over there, and Zohar Shem on Shabbos, the Kash, Rashi brings, without saying it's Beis Shammai, Rashi brings that means, at the beginning of the week, you should put the things away for Shabbos. So the Kash, which the before she Rashi asks, is, that's Beis Shammai Shita. Right? So what's shot? So the Maral over there in Ger Aryeh, he says, Beis Hillel agrees that it is Zochar Shem on Shabbos HaKatra, which means already from Sunday you should be thinking about Shabbos. He just means, so therefore, if like this scenario, they gave you something specifically for Shabbos, it's a matana for Shabbos, you shouldn't use it during the week. You should set it aside for Shabbos purposes. Right? Where is the argument to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? The morale says, you find something and you have a need for it now. Do you need, or should you withhold from yourself? Again, it wasn't given to you specifically for Shabbos, like this scenario. The person found something and he bought it. So Beis Hillel agrees, according to morale, that yeah, you should buy it now for Shabbos. But if you develop some type of a need during the week, tzarf mitzvah, whatever it might be, can you use it? Beis Shammai says, no, you designate it for Shabbos. That Beis Hillel says, no, you have a right to use it now and rely, the Russian will give you something else before Shabbos. But barring that scenario, Beis Hillel agrees that you should, already beginning of the week, a person should have a Shabbos in mind, and if he sees something which he would like for Shabbos, he should put it away for Shabbos.
That's not in the words. In the words of the Gemara, the Machlokes, it's mashma that way, that's what Beis Hillel holds. So we have to really do a stretch to get to there. That wasn't my recollection, but I may be wrong. I mean, I don't remember.
Let's put it like this. I would not have said it on my own, but now that Rashi says it, I think it fits back into Lashon Gemara. I think you can fit it in.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Do we fulfill the mitzvah by the yom, by counting the yom in the morning?
So that's one of those Ramban. The Ramban says when you count the yom, each day you say yom yom Rishon LaShabbos, so that's part of the mitzvah of Zachar Shabbos Shabbos L'Kachra, because you're counting based on Shabbos. Uh-huh. Okay.
I thought that was... Is that a halacha? Between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel and Haggah? I thought it was just a Haggah that Beis Shammai did like this and Beis Hillel did like this, but not that it's a halacha l'maisa. Was it written as a halacha l'maisa?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So you'll notice in some... There's one place in the verse that says Kehillah v'lo Kishamai, that's what it's referring to.
That specific thing.
That phrase I was referring to will be like with covered Shabbos, with relying on like Beis Hillel. By the commandments in the Tafrei study, Dal Tzev Beis, Dasruch and Orach Shom, the Oni Yochol Lashanas B'magvas Purim L'masha Yirtzim, after Gavu L'tzarach Purim. Achen, Gam Shom Yesh Machmirim B'zeh, I am B'tur Shom. So, if they gave you something for Shabbos, in a scenario where the person would be an Oni, so does he have a right to switch it? So that's what he's touching on. So you see there's a discussion over there. If they gave you something for Purim, you have a right to switch it to use it not for Purim. The person was an Oni, and the Gabbai Tzedakah gave them to use for Purim. Can the individual switch it use for something else? So that's, it's allowed over there, so it's allowed over here also, and some people in the Machmir over there, and therefore we would argue that they would have the same... That something with designated for Shabbos, you can't switch for the weekdays.
That's about Matanas Levyami.
No, it's talking about the Gabbai Tzedakah over there, if I call correctly.
Okay.
Okay. Now, next step over here is the Rishonim answer: they should wash begadim b'chamish b'Shabbos because of covered Shabbos. Now, sifkatan hay mitnei. You should have nice white clothing to wear, nice clean clothing to wear for Shabbos. So therefore, they washed on Thursday. Avoloibe Erev Shabbos, but the tzedakah wasn't to do it for Erev Shabbos, but to do it the day before. Kadesh Yil Pinuyim Lhisasik Betzarchi Shabbos, and therefore, you should be available on Erev Shabbos to be busy with the food, because you're busy washing clothing, you're not going to be able to be preparing the food. So the point should be that your clothing should be fresh, so you shouldn't keep using the same garment again and again without washing it. Okay.
Does it apply to suits nowadays? You know, we don't really take it to that week. At least I don't.
I don't need it every week, but you know, at the point in time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Shirt is one. They wore white clothes.
Now, so take a look over here in the Sharat Siyun in Sifkat and Tezayin. So the Mishabura said 2 points over here. Number one, that you should have nice white clothing, nice clean clothing for Shabbos, and not an Erev Shabbos. Okay. So he starts off with that the point was So Kain Hiskam Eliyah Rabba V'chein Memar Mordechai V'shar Achroidim. This is Etzem HaTakana. That the Takana was clean clothing for Shabbos. But the Loikam Magan Avram, the Mashem Enei, the Ikar Takana, Ha Yishalol L'Chabaz Erev Shabbos. The Magan Avram learns the opposite, that the Ikar Takana was not to wash clothing for Shabbos, that the Ikar Takana was don't wash on Erev Shabbos. Because the point being, we don't want you busy with washing clothing, and that should in some way diminish your preparing for the food. But there wasn't a takana b'dafka to make sure every week you have clean clothing. The point was, whenever you want to wash clothing, don't do it on Erev Shabbos. According to the Magan Avram. But the Mishavur is saying that the Eliyahu Rabba and the Marmar Mordechai saying, no, there was a takana b'dafka to wash, to make sure that there should be clean clothing with Shabbos. So why dafka, why on Thursday? Because it shouldn't, you know, the takana made sense. They should do it in a way which is not going to affect other things. But there's a takana b'dafka to do. According to the Magen Avraham, there's no takana b'dafka to wash. The takana is don't wash in Erev Shabbos. Right. Okay, so that's the point he's stressing over here. The question that comes up nowadays is what about using a washing machine? So, you know, it's Man Lom, where they were where doing the washing by hand, etc., was obviously something which is going to be a clear problem. It would some way diminish and impact your preparing for Shabbos. Nowadays, sticking into the washing machine, what about that? So in the Mice of Dirsh over here, in the notes that they had in the Dirsh of Shabura, they bring this question that they quote from the Shuvas Erlitzion, that Rebetzion Abba Shaul. He says, even though it's in a washing machine, it's it's a problem because they used to, because even though the washing machine is easy, but the hanging of the stuff out to dry is an ASIC. So apparently what about if you have a washing machine and a dryer? He doesn't seem to be bothered by that situation. Then he brings, and he says, if a person has a washing and a dryer, it would be mutter to do it on Erev Shabbos. He brings from a Riyashiv, then no. That once Chazal made the Tekana, they made the Tekana.
What about if you have a serpent? You're not washing. He is.
I don't know.
That's not. He's not. That's. You know, there were some rich Jews even in those days.
Right.
So they, you know, they could have a servant that did the laundry right. And another servant that did the cooking. I mean,
My assumption would be that the Kana was across the board. That, you know.
Even though he's not doing it, he's saying he can't wash.
I understand. You know, generally they did low plugs. You know, because I did a low plug. Right. That would be my assumption, but I don't know. Okay.
What he asks a servant who does the right. Cooking and a servant who does the serving? What about?
When you have makrokas, what the takanim was, you have to be yotzi both.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, some say you have to have clean clothes, you have to wash your clothes. Some say you have to not wash your clothes on Friday.
That's what Mishabur says, right?
Right, so do we have to be yotzi both?
No, Mishabur says that, right? You build the one on the Shabbos, I will be Arab Shabbos. According to the Pshat that you have to wash, have clean clothing, they also agree it's Chiyam Chamishi. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says Yom Chamishi.
What if I do it on Revi? That's no good.
Well, if you'll be able to have clean clothing for Shabbos doing on Revi, do it on Revi. But the Tekana was doing on Chamishi. Because in general, that was the way they would maintain it clean for Shabbos, would be close. In other words, theoretically, you should do it on Erev Shabbos. That's the most appropriate time to do it, because this way you'll for sure have clean clothing for Shabbos. But you can't do it on Erev Shabbos because that would in some way impact and diminish your preparations for Shabbos. So we say, okay, do it the day before. Right? But we're not saying you should really shouldn't. According to this, now according to the Magen Avraham, you can do it on Yom Ravi as long as you don't do it on Erev Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. What if you take your clothes to the laundromat? Can you pick it up on Friday? That's actually a maisa for me.
I don't think there's a problem with that.
Shas Chatchaki, you can do it Friday now.
If a person didn't do it, can he do it? So that's going to be the machloikas, right? Then the Magen Avraham will be the chumrah. I just noticed over here, by the way, I just noticed that they bring over here from Bernice and Karelitz that the whole takana was for the lower level layer, like your shirts, etc. But doesn't apply to a suit, as long as they're clean. Okay. Vav, Kedei Shir Challah. So the minhag was to make a dough, which was a Shir Challah. Milvad Shalisha Vafia Hu B'Chlal Kavod Shabbos Yomtiv. Just the fact that you're making a dough, making a bread itself is Kavod Shabbos Yomtiv, because you're signing the B'Soif. So above and beyond that, there's a second argument that Oyd Yesh B'Zetam, there's a second reason, Kedei L'Kayim Mitzvah Challah. We want the person to fulfill the mitzvah of HaFrashas Chal on Erev Shabbos. So why was that? Why is there this idea? The Gemara says that why is the mitzvah of HaFrashas Chal given to the woman? So Chazal say that Adam Arishan was taken off from Min Adama. He was mixed with water. So his mom was like making a dough. And so there's all this mud of the whole world, and a special part was designated aside to be Adam Arishan. So Adam Arishan was like the Chala, the freshest Chala of the whole world. And Chava, the woman, was one who caused Misa, and that happened at Erev Shabbos. So her freshest Chala was given to her as a mitzvah to be Mechaper on that which she was Ibda Chalos Shalom. Okay, now, end of thought, new thought. V'ayin Bachrenim. So take a look over here, this is the Morgan of Rum, it's quoted in the Chayotim, etc. So there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, you know, Chazal came along and they answered Pasakum. Chazal answered bread which is made by a non-Jew, even though it's totally kosher. But if you can eat his bread, so you're going to join him in his meal, and that's going to create the potential for mingling, which is the potential for intermarriage, etc. So we said, you know what, you can't eat the food together. Even though it's totally kosher, you can't eat the food together. And that keeps the separation. There is a Gemara which says that Takana became a very, very challenging Takana. So there was a heter of Pas Palter. Palter is not a private individual breaking bread, but the bakery, the baker breaking bread. So the baker bakes bread, you're not going to become friendly with him because he eats his bread, right? So if you eat your neighbor's fresh baked, you know, bread, he comes over and says, well, yeah, I just made some bread, it's kosher, etc. Why don't you come join me? Yeah, you're going to become very friendly. You're not necessarily going to come very friendly because you're joining the palter with his bread. So I'm not giving up on the whole sugya. So the way it comes down is there is clear in halacha that there is a milo, that the palter was a kula which was instituted afterwards. And the way that it's brought down in halacha is it would be preferable not to eat palter. And that's why, mashal, during the Seres HaMetshuva, we don't eat pas palter. But
yes.
The Ramah says a minhag Yisrael is not to. So, but I'm not sure what some people do, some people don't, but that's what the Ramah says. So, thank you for your comment.
Well, come on,
okay. So, but it comes along the Magen Avraham and says, even people who are not eat pas palter, she'en Yehudi Bechol, Kolmokim b'Shabbos v'yomtiv, nochon lizar shel alechol, ki'im mi pas Yisrael, and they quote a Shabbos v'yomtiv. That's clear in halacha that pas Yisrael has a maila. For example, it discusses the halacha which we had before by making hamotzi, you have different breads in front of you, and one of them is bread which is pas Yisrael, another one is bread which is not pas Yisrael, it's pas palter. So there is a preference to make the bracha, even if your makel eat pas palter, you should make a bracha on pas Yisrael. So for Shabbos, yeah, the Magen Avraham says you should only use pas Yisrael, you should not use pas palter. Okay. The Poshatim who honors, Shema al Malakadish, Kima Pashalan and Yehudim, he doesn't have what for the meal, except for Paspalter, Kamashimotzi, Blan Shechai, or Ivrim, Yachal Kadashalab. And even if it's to the point you have to make Kiddush on it, right, because we can make Kiddush on Friday night on bread, you'll even make Kiddush on it. So, we understand that, you know, if the person can't, he can't.
Make Kiddush on what? On Paspalter?
On Paspalter. Now, if you take a look at the Sheret Tzion and Yud Ches, see, I'm going to ask you, please, not to read people in the middle of the Sheret. Magen Avraham b'chayodim b'shar chaydim. But fiza, looking at the Sharet Tzion and Yud Ches, fiza afila b'toych asuda nochin lizor. It's not only what you make the bracha on, right? It's even anything during the meal. Also, the person should not eat pas palter. Now, what this has interesting application. Now, we're not mochadim machmer more than the halacha over there in Yeridaya of pas Yisrael and pas palter. So, which means like this: in any scenario where pas Yisrael is not available, pas palter is mutter. So it has the following application. We Passover Bekissin is clear in halacha over there. There's a halacha paspalter by Passover Bekissin as well. Not only by bread, it's also by bread like mazonis. So pretzels, cookies, cakes, yeast cakes, all those things, that's Passover Bekissin. So there's a halacha paspalter, which means if pasajil is available, you should eat dafka pasajil on Shabbos. So if I'm in a town, the only pretzels which are available are paspalter pretzels. So I can eat paspalter pretzels if I have a real craving for paspalter for pretzels, because that's all that's available. But if I'm in a town and I happen to like bagels, and only bagels available are paspalter, okay. So I have no, there's no chumrah of not eating it because it's not pasisro. Then you get into this I had this discussion once with the Bachrim. So you have Lieber's cookies, which are Pas Yisrael, and you have Oreos, which are not Pas Yisrael. So he says, I'm sorry, Oreos and Lieber's are not the same thing. So it's not, they're both sandwich cookies, but it's totally different brias. So there's no such thing as a Pas Yisrael Oreo, Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not that such a big malumet in the difference between cookies that should see such a difference.
I can hear that.
Okay. I could see a Bucher arguing that. Yes, yeah, you could see a Bucher arguing.
I'm not into sandwich foods in general, but I could see there's a difference.
Right. Yeah, but I don't think it's a difference in a lot which halacha would recognize. That's significant enough.
There's a lot of
Okay, fine.
Now this is a little different than Aser Sfei Tshuva, right? When we say just saying this Olal Shulchan Melech, which pretzel would not be, right?
No. The Olal Shulchan Melech is a lochem bishul. This is Lachan Pas. Pas has nothing to do with Elo Shulchan Malachan.
Okay, so it's... Right, yes. But so we say then that things of that sort...
No.
Tshuva.
I'm not aware of that. No. Okay. So now, there was a minute to eat this type of a food, which was had a layer of dough on top, layer of dough on the bottom, and was filling in the middle like a knish. Shei mechusa lama lamata batal, just like the mon was covered the top and bottom with the dew. So I was a mechusa habosu bein dapei ha'isa. So it was a meat knish. So you had dough on top, dough on bottom, and the meat in the middle. And that's so there's a minute to eat that zeichel lamon. Okay. But Lord Reisi, the Ramah says, I don't see people being knowing that minig. So the Mishnah Berurah, we're going to say, no, the minig loch. Matter of fact, where we are, the minig is yes to do that. Okay. Fine. Simen Reish Mem Gimel. So before we start the simen, let's see the first Mishnah Berurah. The first Mishnah Berurah really functions as an introduction to the simen. So we're going to deal with the issues of having a non-Jew work for a Jew on Shabbos. So now that can function, that halacha comes up in many places. It's one of the most ubiquitous halachas, discussions of halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. So it comes up over now, Reish Mem Gimel, Reish Mem Dalet, Reish Mem Hei, Reish Mem, it's going to be, Reish Mem Bav is going to be discussed. It'll come up again in Halakos Neiris, in Reish Ayin Tez. It's going to come up again in Simen Shin Zayin, Shin Rav Shin Zayin. It comes up again in Simen Shin Chafei. It comes up again and again and again. And there's different elements of the halakha which have to be clarified. Over here, we're dealing with the following issue. The person is hiring a worker, and the worker is doing work for the Jew. So it wasn't the case where I'm in the middle of Shabbos, I asked the guy, can you turn a light on me? That's not our discussion right now. The issue is I'm simply hiring a worker, and the worker is working for me. So am I allowed to have a worker working for me on Shabbos? So we're going to see that there is the Ikra Halacha. Some cases it's prohibited, in some cases it's permitted. We're also going to see...
In the home, or are we talking outside?
No, even outside the home. And then, then on top of that, there's going to be a Marasayan issue. That even in scenarios where it's permitted, but if it looks like I'm telling the guy on Shabbos to do it for me, that's a totally separate issue. So there are two separate isurim in the problem of a non-Jew with a Jew. There's one problem is there's an isur of amir al-akal. You cannot tell a guy to do work for you. Even if he doesn't work on the weekdays. Right? So you tell a guy on Shabbos, do work for me, that's a problem right there, even if he didn't do it. There's an isur of amir al-akal. There's another problem of a goy doing work for you. Right? So the goy is working for you, since he's acting, he's functioning in some way like your shliach. So it's like you're doing work on Shabbos. You can't do work on Shabbos. You can't have a white goy to work for you on Shabbos. So there's two separate problems. There's an issur of amira, and there's an issur of the doing. So it comes like, you know, I tell, see the goy on Tuesday that I want you to work on Shabbos for me. It's a problem when he's working on Shabbos. And if even I talk to the goy on Shabbos to work for me on Tuesday, the next Tuesday, it's also a problem. Both of those are problematic. Each one has own. We're not dealing with the Amir Lakum issue right now. We're dealing right now with the Iker issue. We're dealing with the actual the fact that the goy is working for you. Now, there is also Marasayan. Sometimes when the goy is working for you in a case which is halachically is permitted, but it looks like you're telling him, so now we have another problem. It looks like you're telling him. So that's why that's where we're going to interface. Now, so what are the rules going to be? So we have to figure out, when do we say when a goy is doing work, and he's being paid for his work, it's called that he's really focused, he's not working for you, he's working for himself. Right? And when is it considered he's working for you? So how do we divide that? Those all those up? So Dr. Mishabura in the introduction, of Sifkat Na'alf. Lo Yaskir. Okay, Da'a the Shlosha Chilukim Yesh. There are three different categories of workers. Echad Hu Arisus. So one is a concept of sharecropping. So Arisa doesn't necessarily only mean by share, not only in crops, it can mean any type of business. Which means that Shasarcher Lady Yehudi, Shiasam Alocha, Basoto Bemerkitz, I'm hiring a non-Jew that he should be working the field, or I own a Merkitz and he should be one who's working the Merkitz and charging the money, etc. And we'll split the profits. We'll split the profits of the income from the bathhouse. Or we'll split the produce of the fields, right? So that's one type of way you hire somebody. You hire him. So Batsim, he's really in a certain sense he's working for himself, and you're splitting the profit. Hasheni hu schiris. The second type of category is when you're hiring a worker. So he's renting, he's a renter. He's not a sharecropper, he's a renter. So he's renting the merchants. So I own a merchants, and he is renting the rights for the merchants for the years, which means he does all the work, takes all the profits, and he pays me a set amount of money for the year. The Gemara refers to that when it comes to a field, the Gemara refers to that as it's called chakirus. He's a choker. That means the same idea. These two categories, and both of these situations, we look at the goy is working for himself. He's not working for you. He's taken over responsibility for the field. He has to do the work. It's his work. And he's paying you by rent, or he's paying you by sharing it. So he's working for himself. So as long as it doesn't look like you're giving him directive right now on Shabbos, it's mutter. So it's out in the field. The soda legami, that's so. In the case of the soda, that's mutter, because the standard way of doing the soda was always through arisas or chakiras, and therefore people are not going to be chosh at you that you're saying you told them now on Shabbos to go work the field. Why should anybody in any way assert such a possibility to you? Because that wasn't the standard way of doing it. So in the case of the soda, it's mutter. So if you have a field and you want to rent out the field to the guy for the year, or you want to have him a sharecrop for the year, he can do work on Shabbos, no problem.
So when we say field here, do we mean an area away from the residential community?
Not necessarily.
So if I have a big, big plot next to my house, would that be okay?
Well, it's more talking about an area where farming was normal. And the standard way to do it, the point that we're here, there was no Maris Ayin, not because people didn't see it, it's because everybody knows that the way you hire these people is always this way. I don't know whether that's true nowadays. If I have a plot next to my house, whether the standard way of giving it to people, I don't think that that's necessarily true. But if I have a farm, it still probably is true. Now, Bemerkutz, Rak Midinah. In the case of the Merkutz, Mikir Adinitz Mutter, because Danny Hudi Adai to the Nafshe of it. We said that the non-Jew is really, he's doing it for himself. He's not doing it for you. He's not, as he's working, perceiving himself as working for you. He's working for himself.
But you're getting benefit, no?
Right, you're not getting benefit on a job. He's working and you'll pay. He pays you whatever he pays you. Now, Al Shachomim also Elo Shechelukim Bemerchatz Mishum Maris Ayin. But the problem is by Amerchatz, it's not uncommon a third option where you hire the person to work for you directly. It means it's your Amerchatz and he's a paid worker. So if he's a paid worker, then he's working for you. So I see the guy working in the Merchatz. It says Rheingold's Merchatz on the top over here, right? And I walk in and I see the Merchatz is open on Shabbos and the guy's doing work. I don't know how Rheingold set it up. The Rheingold set it up as a paid worker. The Rheingold set it up as the guy is renting it from Rheingold. We have no idea. So Chazal said, I'm sorry, you can't do this because of the Marasayan issue. It looks like the Nikris al Shmoy, the Merchatz is clearly mine. And people will be choshed that the owner of the Merchatz is having the guy work directly for him, not as a case of the guy is renting the rights of the Merchatz or sharecropping the rights of the Merchatz. Okay, so that's option number two. Avachaluk Ashlishi is du kablonis. Okay, so the third possibility is an area called kablonis. What is kablonis? Tanashiyu called Ravachim li Yisrael. I hire the person. So the first two scenarios, it's almost the opposite. The person is renting for me. He's renting for me either by sharing the profits, or he's paying me rent. Here's the opposite. I get the profits. It's my field. I get the profits, and he's working for me. So I'm paying him for his work. So, Zeo vale also me dinner b'merchatz, the havi ena Yehudi shluchas Yisrael. So now the goy is working for the Jew. So that you have a goy working for you on Shabbos. So you can't do that. He's considered your shliach, mirabanan. And so that's also. The Yisrael nehenemi malach of Shabbos. The Yisrael is benefiting from the work that the goy is doing on Shabbos. Dimo yasa yamechad yasa the Yisrael revach oisa yon. Now, Val Kain. So we have three ways that we're going to have this arrangement. We're going to have the arrangement that he's renting it. We have an arrangement where he's sharecropping it. The arrangement where I'm hiring him. Valkani minigrav anshe amokim haskiram or litnam bevarisus. Kimura b'sid beis. But if most people in this city, when they have Americans, they don't hire the worker. But the standard way of dealing with Americans was to rent it out for the year or do a resis, which is the profit sharing arrangement. So Chazalius Merchatz Kisada. Now that became standard operating procedure of how you do it in the city, so people are not going to be choshed you. Why should they think you're doing it improperly, right? People are not going to be choshed you, and therefore it's going to be mutter. It's like now it's like the fields. Okay, Hashnei Chalukim Rishonim Mutter Chaluk Hashlish is also. So therefore, now if that's true, and if I actually hire him as a worker, so obviously he's also. But if I don't, and I do it as the two options of the other options, the rental or the share profit sharing arrangement, so it'll be mutter. Now that it became standard, that's sif beis.
Now that what became standard?
Now there's a new problem. This is
now that what became standard?
That they either do it by rental or by profit sharing. Now there's a new problem. There's an issue called schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos is that I cannot be paid I cannot receive benefits for work on Shabbos. I also cannot get benefit from a rental of mine on Shabbos. So I cannot, if I cannot charge the Rosh Hashanah. So there's an issue of, so it's the one case, Schar Shabbos. The Mishnah is getting off into a tangent over here, but we'll get to it back to it eventually. Right? I'm a babysitter, so I get hired to work 3 hours on Shabbos. I cannot charge for that. Right? I'm a waiter, so I cannot charge for working on Shabbos. I can't get scarred for the work I do on Shabbos. So Zahal answered that. If I'm a vliyet, which means, instead of making it that's a payment for Shabbos, I charge by the week. So whether I work on Shabbos or not, this is the arrangement. I can charge by the week. So it's combined with payment for the weekday work as well. So then it's mutter. So I tell the caterer, listen, I'm not just working on Shabbos. I prepare all the food, and the waiters come and they set up. There's a lot of work that they have to do before Shabbos, and they come after Shabbos and clean up. So the payment is not just for Shabbos, it's for this whole arrangement, which includes Friday, Shabbos, and Motzei Shabbos. Oh, so that's Mutter. Right? So not only is it a problem for work, it's also a problem for rental. So I have something which I rent, I rent out Svarim, right? You know, let's say I would do such a thing, right? Right? So you want to rent out my safer on Shabbos. I can't charge you rent. But there's no work involved. I cannot charge rent for Shabbos either. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he talks about when you put money in a bank, what you're really doing is it's a loan to the bank, and you're getting paid. You know, we have it accrues daily a certain amount of interest. That you're getting paid for your money. So that would be theoretically usur, because you're getting paid for your money, getting the rental of your money. That, you know, interest is the rental of your money. That's what it is. Right? The person taking your money is paying you rent. Right? But Rav Moshe says it's not a problem in most scenarios, because since the bank goes by the calendar day, which starts at 12:01 a.m. Friday morning, it ends at 12 to midnight. So you're getting paid for Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos. And then the next day you're paid for Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos. So it's Eichanami in a scenario where you would have a Yom Tov Rishon, which is the Raisa, on Erev Shabbos. So the Moshe Shavuos can come out on Erev Shabbos. So you have the Yom of Shavuos, and then you have Shabbos. So that Friday, from Friday morning to Friday night, it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Raisa. So now you have a problem of Schar Shabbos and Moshe holds. That money is actually Schar Shabbos, and you cannot benefit from it. You have to give it to Tzedakah, Be'ilum Shem, anonymously. You get no benefit out of it. You cannot take the Schar Shabbos. Or the same thing, let's say, Yom Tov B'Motzei Shabbos. So the 2 days Yom Tov is not a problem, because we deal with, like, it's a suffix. It's either A or B. But over here, it's A and B. It's Shabbos, and Motzei Shabbos is the first day of Pesach. So that, you know, that could happen. Right? So Pesach can't be on a month, Sunday night, Monday, but it could be on a Motzei Shabbos. So here you have that Shavuos can be Motzei Shabbos. So it's Shabbos and then Motzei Shabbos. So there's one 24-hour period you're getting paid rent, your interest for. So what about Schar Shabbos? I'm charging rent for my merchants. She says, "Uchol hetzer skiros kan hainu shehu maskiro derech havlo im imosacho." I'm not charging him rental per day. The guy is renting the merchants for me, and he gets the profits. He's paying me by the week or by the month. But if he's just paying by the day, and he pays you by the halachic day of Shabbos, it would be a problem with Schar Shabbos. Okay. Even though it's obvious that he's doing it as a rental, there's no maras ayin, there's a problem with Schar Shabbos, it's a separate problem. Zeu ikar adinim simin zeh b'ksor. So that's the main points that we're going to find in the simon, and let's hold it here.
Thank you.
Okay.